a people oppressed, a struggle for freedom, signs, wonders, and miracles, a battle between good and evil, and a hero that saves the day. This is God's story about Passover, where he delivered his chosen people from slavery in Egypt. Many people know this story. Some even observe and celebrate Passover annually. But what most people miss is the key prophetic lesson that God wanted all of his people to know, one that could literally save lives. Learn what Jesus said when he last observed Passover that all of us should take to heart on this episode of the Field Journal Podcast.
Navigate these uncharted times of chaos and confusion with the Field Journal Podcast, where each episode we decipher the events unfolding all around us with the steadfast truth of the kingdom story. Together, we'll focus on developing an eternal perspective so we can have peace and hope despite our circumstances. Now here's your guide, Kirk Buckner.
Welcome to the Field Journal Podcast, where we observe the world through the lens of the kingdom story so we can have clarity, peace, and hope in these unprecedented times. We are in Passover week, and maybe you had no idea since Easter was observed and celebrated weeks ago. Maybe you don't think of Passover much, but it's one of the best examples of how God uses story to convey important truth that he wanted us to know, truths that he wired our brains to understand. You see, Passover is a story, one that is rich in symbolism and full of prophecy and key lessons on how God's people can draw closer to him. Let's start with the Passover story, remembering that the scripture itself tells the story. Listen to this. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Each man is to take a perfect male lamb for his family and kill it on the 14th day of the month at twilight. Then they should take the blood from the lamb and put it on the sides and the top of the door frames of their houses. They should eat the lamb that night, roasted by fire, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. You shall eat it with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that evening I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. But the blood will be a sign for you, for when I see the blood on the door frames, I will pass over you." This is a summary of Exodus 12, 1-13. God wanted Israel to know this story. He called them to practice it, to know it by commanding them to observe it annually. Listen to what he said in Exodus 12, 14. "Now this day will be a memorial to you. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." He also says later in Exodus 12, 24, and highlights the idea that he really wanted the children to grow up understanding the story. Listen to what he says here. "And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter this land, which the Lord will give you, as he had promised, you shall observe this. And when your children say to you, 'What does this mean to you?' you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes.'" That's in Exodus 12, 24-27. You see, God had declared appointed times so that his people would know the story and believe in him. He appointed seven of them. Listen to Leviticus 23:1-2. "The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations. My appointed times are these.'" And he goes on to talk about Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits and Pentecost and Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. You see, he had these appointed times where Israel would come together and remember who God was and his great story. You see, there was one key lesson that God wanted to convey to Israel about Passover. Moses spoke of this repeatedly in the book of Deuteronomy. Listen to what he says. "Has a God tried to go to take for himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes?" That's Deuteronomy 4:34. You see, Moses uses mighty hand and outstretched arm a total of 5 times in Deuteronomy. Now, mighty hand is a metaphor used for God's great power. We know this because the Bible tells us. It says in Deuteronomy 4:35-39, "To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God, there is no other besides Him. Because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them, and He personally brought you from Egypt by His great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is today. Know therefore today and take it to your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other." Again, that's Deuteronomy 4:35-39. God's outstretched arm is another great metaphor signifying God's loving intervention for His people. Moses will also define this for us in Deuteronomy 7. "The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you, He kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers. The Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." That's Deuteronomy 7:7-8. The ultimate conclusion for Israel is understanding His mighty hand and outstretched arm so they would draw close to Him and trust in Him. Listen to what Moses says. "You shall keep His statutes and His commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which your Lord your God is giving you for all time." That's Deuteronomy 4:40. Now, there's a major shift in God's use of Passover, its symbolism, and the prophetic message that He wanted His people to know for the future. This was taught by Jesus as He celebrated the Passover with His disciples the night before He was crucified. Listen to this carefully. "And when the hour had come, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when He had taken the cup and given thanks, He said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes.' And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in My blood.'" Luke 22:14-20. This is another great story that God wanted us to know, understand, and remember. There is so much depth and richness in it. Let's explore a few things that we learned from it. The first thing is that Jesus is the Lamb of God. In fact, John the Baptist said this, as recorded in John 1:29. "The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Paul also referenced this in his letter to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed." And in Revelation 5:9, spoken about Jesus, it says, "You were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men, from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Jesus is the Lamb of God. And He said that His blood would be for the forgiveness of sins. In Matthew 26:28, He says, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Paul would also tell us, as he was taught about the Lord's Supper or the time of Passover that Jesus spent with His disciples, that we should remember Him as often as we can. Listen to this. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26. You see, there's a new covenant shift. And what happens is it moves away from this annual feast to as often as you do this in remembrance of Jesus. Something done on a greater frequency as an ordinance and a benefit. It's an ordinance because Jesus says, do this. The disciples understood it was not an option. It wasn't lost on the disciples that it's Passover and they're supposed to observe things in a certain way. And when their master, the Lord, says, do this in remembrance of me, they took it as a command. It wasn't an option. The second piece is that it's a benefit. And listen to this. This is out of John 6, 53 to 56. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Again, that's John 6, 53 to 56. This idea of abides means close and settled union. It's a benefit because it causes us to draw closer to Jesus, to be in communion with him. The other part of what Paul said is that we are to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And proclaiming the Lord's death is a reference to the hero's story and what Paul taught. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. It says, for I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. You see, this was the gospel message. This is what Paul went about teaching and proclaiming, that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. He's telling the story of the hero of Jesus. And we are to tell the same story until he comes again. Jesus said this, for I say to you, I shall never again eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. That's Luke 22, 16 and 18. Jesus talks about him not partaking again in the Passover meal, in the Lord's Supper, until the kingdom of God comes. And that really is about his return. And it's full of prophecy that you might not have heard of or even been told about his future mighty hand and outstretched arm. You see, there'll be a time that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, 21 to 22. This is what Jesus says. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. What Jesus is saying there is that there's going to be a great time of trouble ahead, like the world has never seen. This time of trouble will be so great that God's people will be persecuted continually, not just by a nation like Israel was by Egypt, but by the entire world. God's people will be persecuted. And listen what he'll do by his mighty hand to free his people. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. That's Matthew 24, 29 to 30. And listen about the outstretched arm. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other, according to Matthew 24, 31. And before Jesus gathers those that are his, he will equip believers according to the Passover teaching. He will strengthen them to fulfill their assignment to tell his story to the world. Listen to this out of Revelation 12 on how Jesus' followers will overcome Satan in this great time of tribulation that comes upon the world. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. That's Revelation 12, 11. The blood of the Lamb, the Lord's Supper, the ability for believers to be in communion with Jesus, and it's the thing that strengthens them to proclaim the gospel story until he returns for the ultimate rescue, the gathering in the clouds. Now let me summarize this whole story so you kind of get where it's going and what the point is. God is using our brains that he wired for story. He requires Israel to practice the Passover story. Then Jesus transitioned that story to the Lord's Supper or communion so that we would remember the gospel story, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and the Great Commission to tell this story to all the nations. And while we're telling this story, no matter what comes against us, that we believe and trust in his mighty hand and his outstretched arm that will deliver us from what God said will happen in the future. A great time of trouble, tribulation, and persecution for the believers and followers of God. Wow. This is the power of knowing the story and believing in the King. Well, this is all we have time for this episode. I want to leave you again with something to think about, to meditate on or pray about. Again, this is a good exercise to challenge your heart and mind, to move you out of your distracted world and prompt you to think about something. Here it is. If you see Passover as a hidden treasure based on what we have talked about today, what other hidden treasures do you think God has for you, has for your story-wired brain that you have yet to discover? I want to thank you for being here with me today. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you for being a part of this episode of the Field Journal Podcast, a production of Truth of the Kingdom. And while we've reached the end of our journey today, the conversation continues at truthofthekingdom.com. Until next time, may the kingdom story be your source of truth and hope, no matter what's happening around you.